Rex Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company.
Good evening once again, sports fans on the Isle of Man, on this what was a quite a murky Friday evening. Hope you've had a very pleasant week. Rob Pritchard here once again to take you through what's happening in the Manx sporting world. Coming up tonight, the Manx hockey season is back once again with the Mixed Leagues making a return for this campaign. We'll be finding out what's happening with that this weekend. After roaring into life last weekend, the new Manx football season enters its second week over the next couple of days. Who made an impression on the opening day and what can we expect this time around? We'll find out more about that. And some of the best up-and-coming golfing talent from around the world will be showcasing their skills on Ireland this weekend. But why? Stick around to find out more. That is all to come this evening. So, kicking things off this evening. Now, I can't tell whether it felt like yesterday or an eternity ago, but it really hasn't been all that long, actually, since the last hockey season was concluded. As we looked at last week, it's available on a Manx Radio podcast, of course. Despite restrictions on Ireland which affected all sports, hockey was one of those which did manage to adapt to situations and bring the 2020-21 campaign to a successful finish. In reality, it wasn't all too long ago it was completed, but now it's starting all over again from this weekend. Specifically, we're seeing the return of the Mixed Leagues this time around. That's what will get things underway from tomorrow. And back again to take a closer look at what's going down is Sam Spooner. Sam, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you for having me again.
So, in terms of, well, I suppose let's get right into it. In terms of the fixtures that we can sort of start to enjoy from this weekend, starting with the Mixed Premier League, and one of the first ones that comes up here, an interclub derby, backers A versus backers B.
I've got to be honest, I'm completely clueless as to what's going to happen. I have no idea. It's been a little while since we had Mixed. Obviously, it was not there last season. And the season before, it was, it was a shortened season. So I'm looking forward to the return of Mixed. But backers A, backers B, I know their A team have lost the likes of Andy Whiting, who's gone to play football pre-Christmas, and then he'll be coming back from men's hockey in the new year. I don't know what sort of team backers A and backers B are going to put out, but I remember a time when the likes of Jamie Brown, who's now backers A's captain, was in that backers B team, and backers B actually beat their A team. Excuse me. And you see the young players coming through, and you can sort of see that sort of thing happening again. I don't think they're quite at that level yet, so you've got to say backers A are going to win this one, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a good performance from the youngsters in that B team.
Great depth in both those squads, actually. Looking to one of backers' rivals, Vikings A, they take on Ramsey A.
One of Vikings' key strengths throughout all of their teams is that they have a really, really strong group of women. And they kind of, at times, have carried the men. You've got to say that Ramsey A, their women are considerably weaker than Vikings A's ladies. And Vikings A's men have beaten obviously Ramsey men's A team last season comprehensively. So you've got to say Vikings A win there.
And then moving out west, Valkyries A versus Vikings B.
I've got to say Valkyries A should win this one in theory. But Vikings seem to have a strength in depth with that I haven't seen in quite a long time, to be honest with you. When you look at the players that are playing in that B team and the C team, and players that can't train week in, week out, that Vikings B team is quite a strong team, and they have a chance to take Valkyries to town. But I think Valkyries A, their strength and experience should be key.
And the other fixture in the Premier League this weekend, Castletown Celts versus Vikings B. Now, Castletown, we actually covered a little bit last week. Obviously, we've seen the disappointing news that Saracens folded as a club, but that it could, in some ways, be an advantage, not just to Castletown, but for the players that were playing for Saracens. So, looking at this fixture, do you expect any changes in relation to that?
I'll be honest, I don't know how many of the men have gone to Castletown. I know the likes of three of their key players, Michael Pardo, George Powell, and Tom Dalton Brown, I think, have gone to Harlequins. So some of their stronger men, some of their more experienced men have gone to another club, but no doubt Castletown will be boosted by the loss of Saracens. And a number of those players will have joined Castletown as well. Valkyries B, though, they do have, again, strength and depth. unfortunately, I think Castan Kells probably will come out on top, unfortunately for the Westerners, that is, and Castan Kells will be looking to get their season off to a great start.
Now looking into Division 1, speaking of Castletown once again, one of the things, another thing that you mentioned is the fact that they're able to field several teams going forward. There are three teams, but sorry, two, look at, by the looks of it, Castletown Cushags and Castletown Southerners in Division 1. But looking at the fixtures, what can you tell us about those? I believe there's a typo in one of them.
Well, if I start with the Castletown teams, so we'll go Cushags versus Valkyries, Valkyries C. It's a bit of a weird one. When I was playing for Castletown, probably talking a fair few years ago now, I was captain of Camags and they were the second team. Southerners were the third team, Cushags were the fourth team. But then that's swapped around at times. So Southerners have been the second team prior to my life at Castan, and Camags are the third team. And so I'm struggling to work out which one's which, but I think Camags are the second team, Southerners are the third team, and Cushags are the fourth team. So when you look at the Castan Cushags versus Valkyries C, with the strength and depth that Valkyries have, I'd expect the Valkyries C team to win. That Southerners versus Camags game, though, I've played in that very same derby a few times, and quite often the Southerners seem to get the edge over Camags and either come away with a draw or a win or a very, very narrow loss. So those sorts of derbies down south in Castan are very, very hard to predict. And I can't possibly predict that this week.
And just quickly rattling through now, Division 2, four fixtures in there.
Yeah, Castan Cosney versus Valkyries D. I think Valkyries D should probably win this one. Again, it just depends what sort of players Castan have captured, because they seem to have got captured a lot. It's the first time I can remember Castan having six mixed teams. So they have captured a huge number of players. And then you see Castan Carrick versus Vikings D. I think Vikings D should take that one. Ian Perry is captain. He's got some very, very useful players under his wing there. Ramsey Rookies versus Vikings E. I think Rookies are probably going to be more of the sort of the last of the summer wine team. Certainly my dad will be playing in that team, I think. So I think Vikings E should probably edge that one. And then Harlequins B versus Bacchus C. I think Harlequins B should take that one fairly easily as well.
And then just to add on to that, there are obviously a number of under-16s games as well. In the under-16s league, there's Vikings versus Bacchus B, Valkyries versus Harlequins, Castletown A versus Bacchus A, and Ramsey Rogues and Rascals versus Castletown B. Just to, I suppose, sum up those, just looking through that list of fixtures going into this season, we've talked about that there may be certain players in key squads missing, but just looking at how healthy the fixture lists are and the divisions that are back in it, that must be quite a promising thing to see for the fact that hockey, like everything else, faced such disruption last year.
Yeah, and not just that, but the mixed leagues were actually, it was discussed for quite a while to actually get rid of mixed hockey altogether in order to try and boost the island representative teams when they were travelling away to play in the counties or the inter-islands. I mean, for me personally, I'm glad mixed hockey's back. It brings the community together. You're not playing men's and ladies, you're not training separately. You know, it brings a whole community together, and families are bred out of this. This sort of hockey, you know, you're socialising together, you're playing together. You know, there's kids that are being born as a result of mixed hockey, you know, in that social environment that comes from mixed hockey. And I think it just strengthens the wider hockey community as well, mixed hockey. And I think they've got the balance right this year, you know, 7 weeks of leagues and playing once each. So I think they've got the balance right.
Sam, thanks very much.
Thank
once
you.
Again. Hopefully catch up with you this weekend at some point. Now, moving things on, the eyes of Sky Sports will be fixed on Castletown Golf Links next week. The club has been awarded the penultimate event in the Euro Pro Tour Golf event, the first time the club has hosted a tournament on this scale. It's a development tour for men's professional golf and acts as a feeder into the European Tour and Challenge Tours. Tom Gandy cut his teeth in the Euro Tour back in the day, but he won't be returning this time as he'll be competing in the Dutch Open. In his absence, though, there are 120 up-and-coming professionals which will be showing their stuff, including four Manxies. Manager of Castletown Golf Links, Andy Howland, and event helper Colin Townsend spoke to Ryan Evans.
The Euro Pro Tour, in a larger scale, it's owned by Matchroom Sport, which covers, you know, like World Snooker, a lot of boxing. It was set up by Barry Hearn, so they have a team, a TV crew, and they do a syndication via Sky Sports. So the event will be broadcast a couple of weeks afterwards. There'll be 2 2-hour highlights packages shown on Sky Sports, which obviously, if this great summer weather continues, we hope it'll be massive exposure, not only for Castletown, but for the Isle of Man in general. It's terrific to have a professional golf tournament on the Isle of Man and be able to welcome the guys here and give them a good event.
It's really exciting. It is. Has Castletown Golf Links, have you hosted anything on this scale before?
Not on this scale, no. We've been fortunate enough in the past to host a couple of sort of amateur boys under 18 international games. We feel as though further down the line, the golf course in the grander scheme of things, it's a great test of golf, a links golf course. It's not particularly long, so it would probably suit itself quite well to professional ladies golf, which has really taken off over the last couple of years. So we're quite keen further down the line to approach the various lady golf associations, and fingers crossed, you know, we might be able to host something similar for ladies golf.
That's brilliant. Who should we keep our eyes on in terms of competitors? And do we have any local up-and-coming stars to keep an eye out for?
Good question, Rhiann. Good question, yeah. So we're lucky enough that as each event is given 4 invites. So our club professional, Charlie Simpson, is going to be playing. We've also got our men's club captain, Jez Bradley. He'll be participating. Our course record holder, Daryl Callister. And finally, 2020 Ireland champion and club champion, John Cork. So it'll be good to have a local representation. Hopefully that will mean that people that want to come and spectate, it'll be an added incentive to watch the guys play on the home golf course. We wish them all the best. I'm sure they'll have a great week.
Yeah, and in terms of spectators, what do people need to know if they want to come and cheer on the home crowd?
Well, firstly, it's free to spectate. There's no charge. So the event starts on Wednesday morning at 7:30. There'll be approximately 120 golfers playing in 3 balls every 10 minutes, with a final tee time of 2:30. So the Wednesday and the Thursday will be the same setup. And on the Friday is the final round. It's a cut after 36 holes after Thursday evening, and the top 50 in ties will play on the Friday morning. So if you want to come out and spectate, watch a bit of golf, you probably won't have heard of many of the competitors. They're not household names at this stage because it's too early in their career. But that's not to say they're not.
That they won't be.
They won't be. A lot of the household names, guys like Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Louis Oosthuizen, Charles Schwartzel, all start their career on Europro and are now major winners, Ryder Cup players. So yeah, watch out for a few of the guys. They're very, very talented. You might not recognise them at first, but you will do in a few years.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Well, best of luck to all those taking part. It'll no doubt be an excellent occasion. The Euro Pro Tour starts next Wednesday, the 15th of September, from 7:30 a.m. onwards. Sky Sports will be covering the event, but not live. Highlights of the tournament will be aired on the Sky Golf channel, though. Okay, turning now once again to football. The Manx football season got underway once more last weekend with fixtures across the men's and women's league, as well as a couple of Masters matches. Off the back of those results and performances, are there any teams or individuals in particular which have caught the eye across the divisions? And also, of course, what indication does it give of what might happen this weekend? As ever, to take us through this, Tony Meppam is in the studio once again. Good evening to you, Tony.
Good evening, Rob. And weather's good, so hopefully no problems. Bit of rain midweek, which will help the pitches. So, yeah, set up again for another good weekend of football.
Now, just starting with the men's Premier League fixtures to start with. They'll be kicking things off on Saturday. Can you take us through what's going to be happening?
Yeah, and the Candlelight Premier League, certainly looking at the fixtures last week, and as you say, were there any surprises? I thought Old Boys' result was absolutely tremendous, because against Marana, didn't expect them to win by that many, and Robbie Ward, the player manager, leading by example with a hat-trick from him. As you took a little sight in at Ayr United against Corinthians up at Bala Fletcher, going to be interesting this week because there's no FC Isle of Man game. So in theory, all those players that represent FC Isle of Man can go and play for their clubs if they're registered for them. And looking at it, Corinthians potentially could have 10 players who didn't play last week included in their team. Now, I don't know what Blaine's going to do. I'll leave that with him because it's, you know, could be a recipe for disaster because players are coming back and then next week you haven't got them. But certainly against Laxey performed really well last week. They put in a good shift, plenty of goals. Jordan Cooper with a couple, Michael Fernandez as well with two goals. We'll wait and see what their squad news is for tomorrow. But Ramsey against Union Mills. Ramsey had, I thought, a tighter result against Ramsey Youth Centre. Still got the maximum points, which is what they needed. But Union Mills knew that coming back into the Premier League this year was going to be tough for them. And they saw that last week. But they're still, you know, a side to be reckoned with. They've got some good goal scorers. Rushen and Peel, which is the game I watched, I was really disappointed with it. It didn't get going. I know where Rushen came out 2-0 winners and well deserved too. But Peel have got, you know, all sorts of problems at the moment. You know, no Rhys Oates, no Lee Gale, which doesn't help things. And Douglas Royal will play against Peel, their first game of the season, because they were due to play St Mary's. And unfortunately, St Mary's have gone, so that game didn't happen. And St George's are still waiting. Rob, 2 weeks now, they haven't had a game. It's unfortunate the way it's gone for them. So there's some interesting games in there, but the one that you've sort of got to look at the moment is Laxey against Corinthians. If Corinthians have got players back in, it makes them stronger. As well with Laxey at the moment, they've got a strong squad.
Just thinking on that subject again, this idea, obviously, FC Isle of Man don't have a game this weekend. Certain players could come back in. How does that balance get reached, because there will be players in there who have trained hard to get to this point to play at that level, but they're also obviously very capable players, FC Isle of Man, that could come back. How do the teams find the balance?
I don't know. I would say the hardcore, and you can see a bit of a hardcore appearing now for FC Isle of Man. Those players, you know, are important to FC Isle of Man. They're in the higher football, if you like. So I would think that certainly Chris Bass and Lee Dixon have said to the players, you have to manage this yourself, but you've got to think of yourself. They're not machines, and the league that they're playing in, they've got to be super fit. So they're training harder. They've, I think, had an extra session this week. So that's something for them to look at. But the lads that are on the edge of it, who dip in and dip out, depending on selection, to me, I would think they'll be looking to play for the clubs tomorrow. So this is where it's really tough, because the players come back in, make themselves available to their club manager, and then the club manager's got to make a decision. Do I put them in and take a player out who has probably played really well? Or do I just say to them, listen, guys, I can't pick you. It's a real tough one. This is a fact-finding weaker, I think, for the managers, for the teams to find out. And it's just making sure that the players are happy, because they're the important things in all this.
And just one final measure, on Sunday, of course, the women's division is in action. There's a few fixtures in that as well.
Yeah, I watched the big game last week, and, you know, Peel are looking really strong this year. I know Corinthians were missing one or two players, but Peel were as well, and they played some really good football, and you can see why they're being tipped by a few to win it. But, you know, Union Mills against Onchan. Union Mills will find it a little bit tougher, but Onchan new to the league, but they've got some ex-players in there, so they know how to play the game. Douglas Royal against Colby. Douglas Royal should win that. Cracking result for Royal last week, 10-0. And Corinthians against Castletown. They'll be licking the wounds after that defeat against Peel, but against Castletown, they should start off as slight favourites. And you have to go for Corinthians to win in that one. But yeah, women's football's back. There's an extra team in there, so there's extra fixtures. And let's just hope we can build on that and get some quality together, ready for the Island Games in 2023 in Guernsey.
Excellent. And just a reminder, the games in the senior men's leagues all kicking off at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, bar one in Combi 2, Douglas and District versus Douglas Athletic. That's a 2 p.m. kickoff. And then in the women's division on Sunday, all those games kicking off at 2 p.m. And just on a slightly different note, a number of TT riders are in action at the Cookstown 100 in Northern Ireland this weekend. Michael Sweeney claimed pole position for the Superbike race this afternoon ahead of Mike Brown. Adam McLean was third fastest, while Paul Jordan, riding for the Isle of Man-based Prez Racing, ended the session fourth quickest. Racing around the Orator circuit takes place tomorrow, following a handful of support races this evening. So, Tony, just coming to you finally, just to wrap things up, we've only got a tiny bit of time left. In terms of being able to try and balance these teams, we've covered this several times around, obviously the Manx Leagues and FC Isle of Man. Are we any closer to some sort of a firmer, clearer agreement being reached?
To be reached, to be honest with you, it's quite clear that the people that are in charge of it are the players. If the players want to play for FC Isle of Man, fine. If the players want to play for their clubs, that's fine. But I don't think Chris Bass and Lee Dixon would want players to just play when they want to play. They need commitment, because this is big what they've gone into, and they need the best players that are available for them. But there's no problem between either organising bodies. There's a couple of issues. We're dealing with it. Everyone's happy, and it's up to the players. They need to be happy.
Excellent. Both sides of responsibilities. Wish everyone all the very best. Well, that's all we have time for this evening. The show will be available as a podcast shortly after, later tonight. I'll be back with Saturday Sport Classified tomorrow from 5 o'clock. But wherever you are, have a wonderful weekend and all the best.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.